Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Mike Wilson Show once again. I think I'm into my third month of doing this now, so hope you are enjoying the show. This is going to be a fun show today. In the studio with me are Art Jude and Dick Hoy, who wrote a book called The Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times. And also Fred Malone, who grew up in the same area as these guys did.
Southern Ohio, River Ranch.
So he wanted to be a part of this discussion today. So, gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Good to see y'all.
Good to see y'all. Hey, all right. You know, it's good to see anybody, you know, when you get to be this old.
So true, so true. Okay, so the Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times. First of all, is this a true book?
Yes.
It's
based on a true story.
It's based on a true story. It's an interesting book.
It is an interesting book.
I have to tell you, I read the first couple of chapters a few weeks ago, and then last night I sat down and I started reading the rest of it, and I couldn't put it down.
I know, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's the way with me. I read it straight through when I read it.
And I think the last chapter is my favorite.
Yeah.
But let's just start out talking about it. You know, you have a couple of different hoaxes that you perpetrated here. Want to talk about the first one?
I will, but that's more or less me and my brother. I got this brother named Mike.
Oh, good name. Good name.
Yeah, but he's one of the smartest people that you ever want to meet. He really is. But for some reason, unknown reason to me, that he believed in a Bigfoot. Now, when I say he was smart, he was also quick-witted with a quick mouth on him. So me and my whole family were jealous of him, I guess, is a good point.
No, was he older brother or younger?
No, he's
brother?
Younger.
Younger,
yeah.
Brother. Okay.
The only person older than me is my sister.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the only person older than you was Dirt.
Well, that's probably true, too. But anyway.
How much younger was he?
He's like 10 years younger.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit then. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, we won't hold that against him.
Well, he had spent a couple of years in the Army, too, right after Vietnam. And he's been out in the world quite a bit. But I figure, why would he believe in Bigfoot? So I thought I'd just help him along. That's all I was doing, just helping
him. What happened? What did you do to help him along? We don't want to ruin the whole book so people will go out and buy it, but you can tell the story.
Well, we want a movie made out of this thing. If anybody out there can make a movie out of it.
There you go.
Well, you're over my head to make a movie. So basically, I went and rented me a gorilla outfit, and it was set up to where the grandkids and everything was having a birthday party down there, and my sister was there with her camera to film the birthday party. And at a particular time, I had the gorilla outfit on. I was supposed to come out from behind a tree and run across the top of this hill, and that's what I did, and over the hill down to the creek, so where I could disappear from down there. So that's what I did. And they had film of me running across the top of this hill, and it looked pretty good. And, all them kids seen it too, you know, from the birthday party. And it just turned out perfect where Mike, my brother, could watch the movies of me running across the top of that hill. And there he's got his proof, all the proof he needed of a Bigfoot down Southern Ohio.
Now, what county was this taking place
that
in?
That took right, you know, where Vinton County and...
Do I know where Vinton County, yeah.
And like Meigs County, all come into that corner there.
Yep.
It was right in that area
where
I ran across the top of this hill.
Yep.
So anyway...
right there in the Wayne National Forest.
Right close to it,
yep.
Yeah, very, very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... that was the start of it all, and boy, he believed that there was a Bigfoot up there in them hills, so they all jumped in the car and took out after me, or after Bigfoot, I should say. And, see where that went to from here, but anyway, we had a good time that night, and the bad part about that, I didn't know how to break the news to him. It was me, you know. And my brother Mike is one of the most nicest guys you ever want to meet, but he's a daggone smart. I don't know how to handle him. So, you know, they were all there at my sister's house downstairs having a little party. So I just went out and put on the gorilla outfit and then come back in the house and introduce myself to Mike, my brother.
As Bigfoot.
As Bigfoot, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurt him. I'm telling you, it hurt him. He told me you shouldn't do a man that way. Well, that's what you get for believing in Bigfoot. So.
Now, I don't remember the top off the top of my head, but what year was this roughly?
Oh, Jesus. Early 80s.
Early 80s, okay.
I'm thinking maybe 87.
That's what I was thinking, 87, 88. I think it's around 87 or 88. You told me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you say he's gullible and he wanted to believe in Bigfoot, but that's not too far fetched. And here's the reason I'm going to tell you why. I went to High University in Athens.
Okay,
that's where I went to school. All right.
There, yeah.
And so when I was in school down there, I had an anthropology professor that every summer he would spend his whole summer up in the Wayne National Forest, just outside of MacArthur in Benton County.
Yeah.
He spent his whole summer out there looking for Bigfoot. Now, here's a PhD at Ohio University in anthropology, and he's out there looking for Bigfoot every summer. He did that for years.
Now, you know, down at Ohio University, right after I pulled this trick on my brother, they had a big shakeup down there where they wouldn't let young girls get out at night.
I remember that. I sure do.
Yeah, they wouldn't let them. And
yeah.
They wouldn't let people go outside at night because they was afraid Bigfoot would get
them. And that was all perpetrated by you.
Yeah, and the other thing, the mothers wouldn't let their kids go down to the bus stops early because, you know, there was a Bigfoot in the area, and he's going to come and get you.
I think that's mentioned in the book. I kind of remember hearing that.
Yeah. They did that, and I talked to some of the young girls down there that their mother wouldn't let them out. He was afraid Bigfoot would get them.
I watch all that on TV where they're searching for Bigfoot at nighttime, and they hear all these noises.
Yeah.
But who has actually seen Bigfoot?
I don't think anybody has.
Nobody, truthfully.
But you know the noises they're hearing. We all grew up in the woods, and Scioto County, where I spent the first 10 years of my life, and then Hocking County, both wooded, and you know, a lot of hollows and stuff. You hear all kinds of things at night, and people can take different sounds and create
you get
different
out,
things.
Out and you're, it's
oh
quiet,
yeah, oh yeah.
And you hear you kick up a deer, and a buck will snort at you, and all kinds of noises, and you don't have no lights, just a flashlight.
Yep.
And the dog's off running.
Yep.
So there you sat alone wondering what it was.
What it was, yep.
It had to be a Bigfoot.
Had to be a Bigfoot.
Yep. Done that many times with coon hunting. Yep.
There's a photo in here of the one of the tracks that you left.
Yeah.
And you had used a plywood mold.
Pretty ingenious.
And it looks like a real foot.
It does.
It really does.
Well, you notice that foot now. It would work for a left or right foot. All you had to do is turn it over.
Ambidextrous. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
One of them. That's on page 20 if you're looking for that picture there.
No, I know where the picture is. I just had written down a couple pages. A couple of questions I wanted to ask when we were going through things. You guys mentioned, and I think this is maybe before the Bigfoot chapter, but you'd mentioned a couple of places that I kind of remembered one, but I couldn't remember the other. I knew where the Bob Evans Drive-In was.
Okay, there in Galpolis.
I knew where that was because my dad used to work for the state of Ohio, and I traveled with him in the summertime. He'd go around to all these little podunk towns and check feed mills and all that kind of stuff. And we used to stop there and have lunch.
Oh yeah.
You know, when I was a kid. But this the Kanawin Drive-In, where was that?
It was right north of Galapagos there.
I don't remember that at all. What route was that on? You know, it was on 35 or.
Well, whatever route goes up the river there.
That's 35, isn't it? Is that 35?
No, 7.
Well, 7 runs along the river there into Marietta. Is that? I don't remember that place.
Route 2 is on the other side.
Yeah, I don't remember that place at all.
Route 7 goes up towards Charleston, doesn't it? I can't remember what it's. Just right north of that Bob Evans area on that same main road.
Yeah.
And that lasted for a long time.
That was the original location, wasn't it, right there?
Yeah. Well, this is not in the book, but what really happened with Bob Evans there, there were some people, farmers, that invested in a pig slaughterhouse right out 35 from Galapagos, and they went belly up or went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And then Bob Evans, I guess, bought that place and turned it into nothing but sausages. And he had all this sausage, and what is he going to do with it?
You know,
he's going to have breakfast. And so that's why he really got into the sausage breakfast.
Yeah, people, probably be hard to believe people today that go to Bob Evans' restaurant could realize what he started with.
Yeah, then, he started.
There wasn't much to that place.
No, I worked one night there in that slaughterhouse.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad.
One night to do it.
Yeah, one night was enough for me.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Oh, well, yeah. A lot of those memories, though, they don't fade away.
Well, we used to go down there and sneak into that Kanoa Drive-In all the time.
Yeah, I can't remember that. Yeah, I just don't remember that place.
Just up the road there from Bob Evans, 3 or 4 miles up through there. I don't think that was Route 7. I may have been Route 7, like 35, but it was right there on that main road going into Gallipolis.
So, go ahead. You
was going to ask about Mothman. What's the story of Mothman? What Mothman?
That's another story entirely.
all that stuff in the book is absolutely true there. I came home on leave, right? And I was out looking for all my buddies, and I run into them at a restaurant up in Middleport Pomeroy area.
Yep.
And one of them had gotten hurt. And I said, well, what's going on? And he told me what happened, that we stopped, that I went with him, and we stopped by and got his grandmother's sheets. And his uncle owned the cornfield up there, north side of Point Pleasant. And we went out there in the cornfield, and his uncle had called him, told him to come over there and run them people out of his cornfield because they was destroying his crop.
Mm-hmm.
So we all went up there, and when they come out there and parked, jumped in the back seat. That's what we used to do back in those days, so don't hold that against us. he put that sheet over top of himself and jumped up on top of the car, jumping up and down like a madman. Of course, it scared the people in the car about half to death. They jumped up over the seat and took off down the road. Well, the sheet got caught on the antennas on the back of the car.
Okay.
And the sheet went with the car down the road. And what was evidently happening was the sheet was flapping in the wind. And the taillights are shining back into it like it had two lights on it. And it must have scared the hell out of them. But, you know, one of them boys, now he died in, Lonnie Darst was his name, the guy that I knew pretty good. But he was on the Silver Ridge when it fell in.
He was?
Yes, he was, along with my high school football coach.
Really?
Coach White, yeah. He was on there too when it fell in. And the other boy, he must have got killed in Vietnam because I'd never seen him again.
Huh.
So, and I didn't even know his name, tell you the truth. But he was the one that got up on the back of the car and jumped up and down. And when they took off, he got hurt and rolled off the back of the car.
Huh.
So we had to end up taking him to the hospital.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that claim that they saw the Mothman standing on top of the bridge when it collapsed.
I don't know what they were smoking.
Well,
but
I don't know. Hey, the next day after that bridge collapsed, I was in high school then.
Yeah,
I was a senior or junior in high school.
Uh-huh.
We drove down there to look at that thing.
Yeah.
That was a big old mess. You know about the story? The Silver
Bridge
collapsing?
No, I
don't. Oh, yeah. How many people were... A lot of cars on it. The light was stopped on it, wasn't it? There were cars on the bridge. And it collapsed. It fell in the river.
Approximately what year? About when was that?
67, 68.
67.
Okay.
Yeah. It was right around Christmas time, wasn't it? If I remember right.
Yeah, a couple of days before Christmas there. But
It was full of people. I know there was a lot of cars on the bridge, and it just collapsed into the Ohio River.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
One of them big bars broke.
I see you had a picture of the monument in here of the Mothman.
I mean,
that's been a legend down in that part of the country
I don't know where they got that thing from. I really don't.
I don't know where it started from originally. Yeah. And then they made that movie of it out in Hollywood, and that kind of made it go a little bit more
stick.
And brought it up to
you know, I went there. I called down there, and I tried to tell the mayor of Point Pleasant what actually happened there. And he didn't want to hear it. He just didn't want to hear it. I guess that generates a lot of revenue for their little town.
Oh, I'm sure it does. We have a festival down there.
Yeah, right there's a big festival.
There's a Mothman festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Got to go to that sometime, Fred.
Well, Well, the reason I know all that area down there, I went to Logan High School, and we played all those schools down there. We played Pomeroy and Jackson and Galpolis, all those places down there.
Well, I played for a little town up there north, Chester, Kiger Creek.
Yeah, I know where that is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We had a pretty good little football team back in the early 60s there.
That's how we ended up knowing that area a lot, you know, because if we wanted to do something bad, we just left Hocking County or, you know, went down that way and did it because that way nobody knew us.
Yeah.
But that Mothman thing, that's been going on for years. I think that started way before the Silver Bridge collapsed.
I don't know. All I can tell you is that, you know, then people jumped up out of that car, you know.
Scared the living bejesus
out of them. Well, I'm sure it did.
Well, and of course, if they saw that sheet fluttering in the wind,
that
was a Mothman flying
through there trying to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a good time down there. It was all right.
So you mentioned a couple guys in here, Cliff from Point Pleasant and Doug from Pomeroy.
Well, that's my other two brothers now.
Okay. And said Doug was Meigs County Sheriff.
Yeah.
What was his last name again?
Jude is his last name.
Doug
yeah.
Jude. And he would have been sheriff
Well, he
years?
Thought he was sheriff.
Oh, he thought he was sheriff.
He
wasn't really
he was,
sheriff.
No, he really wasn't. He thought he was a sheriff.
He was kind of the quote-unquote sheriff he designated himself.
Yeah, he was a big old bruiser, too, so you ever get into it with him, he'd let you know who
the
sheriff.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Knothead, really, what he is. But he's a good guy, though, really. Cliff is my younger brother, so.
Let's go back a little bit here, and how'd you come up with the name the Foot Brothers?
Well, at the front of the book, when we started writing it, I didn't know what else to name it. I thought I'd name it Heathers, but let me turn this thing off.
Okay.
But
it's live radio. That thing, that kind of stuff happens.
Anyway, Dick, when younger, starting out in the book, we're walking along the road, and I had a big pair of boots on. Dick's got a small pair of boots on, and was making these, prints in the mud.
Yeah.
And I told Dick he was going to leave a imprint for some zoologist to find later in life, and that started a fight.
So now you graduated, you told me, in 66.
64.
64, from where?
Kiger Creek.
Kiger Creek,
yeah.
Okay. And you graduated when?
70.
70,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And may I mention here that I was born in 60, so.
Yeah. So I graduated, and I was 68 from Logan High School.
From Logan?
And you were from where, too?
North. From Heath.
From Heath, okay. You graduated from Newark High School?
Heath.
From Heath High School, okay.
Yeah, I went vocational.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm trying to put a idea on where we are age-wise.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're not too far off then.
No,
a couple years between us, yeah. Okay.
But I come up with this idea about we got in this fight about the size of my feet, the size of his, and I thought, well, that'd be a good name for us, the Foot Brothers.
So whose foot did you use to copy that print off of, yours? Or did you
I laid my hand down like this, and cut it and marked it all up on a big sheet of plywood and cut it out.
Yeah.
That's the footprint.
That was the footprint.
Yeah. Now, the footprint for the aliens is later in the book. We made that, Dick made that out of rebar.
Yeah, I was going to say it looked like a piece of rebar.
That. Well, that's what it is.
Did you make that in shop class?
No. I actually made the shop where we worked. Part of it.
Okay. Yeah, you'd mentioned the place, but I didn't catch the name of where you worked.
Owens.
Oh, okay. You worked at Owens. I should have put two and two together and figured that out. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of this stuff then that was going on, I try to get my time frame here right because I can't remember now what I read, but a lot of this stuff went on after you got back from NOM then.
Well, I was never in NOM. I was always in North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Dick was in Vietnam.
But you were there during the Vietnam era.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's right. I was there. I was in...
And you were in NOM. Okay.
Yeah. When Dick and I actually first met each other, that was in, 92 or 93, somewhere along in there. Mm-hmm. I'd went out to the, I think this is in the book, I'd went out to the break area to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, I think I read that in there.
And one of the supervisors there, I'd got up and told everybody I was Bigfoot. And one of the supervisors told me, well, people go to hell for lying. I said, buddy, Bigfoot will get you for that. And out of all the people out at the smoke booth, Dick was the only one that believed me that I was Bigfoot. And we started talking and become friends ever since, man. So, it was interesting.
It's a good way to start a friendship.
It sure is.
Well, we had a ball doing this stuff, now, guys. We really did.
So you weren't both involved in the Bigfoot incident?
No, it was just me.
And that was before you met
Dick, yeah.
Dick, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, there was a lot of stories going around, and I'm sure that my brother believed that there was all these stories, you know. So I just thought I'd help him out, that's all. I was just helping these guys out. You know, yeah. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Yeah. I was just helping them. You know,
I don't believe in aliens or anything like that. I'm sorry. I got to see it to believe.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And my ex-wife, she believes in everything. I mean, everything. And I pull jokes on them.
Yeah.
Then they get mad, so I just quit.
So were you guys pulling jokes when you were kids growing up, too? I mean, I kind of got the feeling that you did, because I knew I did a lot of that kind of stuff when I was growing up. You know?
I don't know. Dick.
Yeah.
I mean, times are different back then than they are now. We did some crazy things, but they were innocent crazy things. Yeah. We never hurt anybody or did anything destructive or anything like that. Yeah. Like some of the stuff that goes on mm-hmm. today. But I mean, growing up in small towns or in rural counties like we did, you could do a lot of that stuff and have a lot of fun and get away with it, you know, and you weren't harming a soul.
It become a word of mouth and it spread.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, absolutely.
Back then, you know, your telephone ring was 2 rings and a half or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Answered it, and the constable down there in Dresden area, it was just a word of mouth. Once somebody found something out, it just spread like a wildfire.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
By the time it got back around to you, it was multiplied.
And by that time, it was full faith believing, you know.
It was fun to give you more to think about what to do next.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way Art and I did it, you know, the longer this went on, we'd be off for 3 days and come back to work for 3 days. And while we were off, we would think of something else to do. Uh-huh. And during that 3 days, we'd go and set it up. So it might take us a month or so to implement it, but
it requires planning. So what made you decide to put this all in a book?
Well, I think it'd make a heck of a movie. Just funnier than heck.
It would be fun to watch that movie. I would pay to see that movie.
Well, that's what we want to hear.
Well, it started out, we just jotted material down that we could both think of what we were doing and what in the past. Mm-hmm. And we just put it all together, and Art said, we'll make a book of it. Well, okay.
So how'd you go about doing that? I mean, did you contact publisher?
No, I just sat down at the computer one day and started writing. And tried to remember everything, mm-hmm. and this is what I come up with.
I'll be darned.
Had my oldest daughter help me, you know, with some of the pictures in the book and mm-hmm. stuff to mm-hmm. get them in there, but that's what happened. And you talk with Dick every now and then about what we really did and right. how we did it.
Right.
It turned out all right, I believe so.
Yeah, it's you know, like you said, it's an interesting book to read, and it's a lot of fun to read. And it was one of those things that you pick it up and you start going through it, and you think, well, I'll put this down, but then you can't. You know?
I found that same thing.
Which is what I did, and it's not so long that you can't sit down and read it in an evening. And it was really kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. We talked about fun, though, was when Dick and I was trying to plan all this stuff.
Oh, I can imagine.
See, I was a new employee out at Owens Corning, mm-hmm. and Dick had been around there for a long time, so he was a highly respected individual in the work group.
Oh, boy, they didn't know you very well, did they?
I did have supervision.
Were you? Yeah.
Anyway, Dick and
yeah,
I...
First operation and went to supervision, yeah. Pretty well known.
Dick and I would be sitting around talking about what we're doing, and everybody else in that place, even the supervisors, was wondering what in the world is Art and Dick talking about now.
They're trying to eavesdrop.
Yeah, we're trying to find out what we're doing, and boy, I'm glad they didn't, because we didn't tell anybody what we were doing.
Oh, no, you want to keep it quiet, because that made it suspenseful, and more people would believe.
Some people, this don't make them happy, you know, that we are setting off balloons and Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, so it, you know, I don't know. Some of it's illegal what we did, you know. But, you know, we didn't.
Hey, it's only illegal if you get caught.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, that's the philosophy of Southern Ohio people.
Well, we didn't get caught because we planned every step of the way. We planned every minute of it.
Come close a couple times. Yeah,
I think your most interesting hoax in this book was the aliens.
Yeah.
I think that just tell us about how that came about. And
well, that girl on the front there, that's the alien woman. That's my girlfriend. She's kind of pretty, ain't she?
in an alien way.
Is that the one you picked up at Trader Bud's?
Yeah, that's the one I got.
I remember going up to Trader Bud's on a few occasions.
Boy, when I went in there and purchased her, there was a dark-haired girl showed up. It was around green. What time of the year is that?
Halloween.
Not Halloween, but in springtime when there's Irish days.
St. Patrick's Day.
So this pretty girl was in there buying St. Patty's hats and stuff, horns and stuff. And when I was waiting there to buy her, I was waiting for her to leave the counter, you know.
Yeah, now tell everybody what this actually is. This is one of these.
It's a blow-up woman, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and we took and painted her up, put a little rouge and lipstick on her.
We done all this in his garage.
Yeah, I did. It's all
even the spaceship.
Yeah. Now, I'll let Dick tell you from the start of the alien stuff with his wife.
Well, what gave you the idea? Add that in. Make sure you...
Well, I was wanting to trick my sister, Sharon, into seeing a spaceship because she kind of believed in them too. And then Dick was telling me, he said, well, my wife or ex-wife or wife believes in aliens. And then she come out and had a beer with us one afternoon when we got off of work. And I was talking to her, and boy, she really believed in aliens. So I said, well, this is the one we got to trick, because she take it from there.
Okay.
So my nephew, we had a party down there to Seneca Lake, and I knew all this was coming about, so Art had it all set up. We had it set up at what time it was going to be set off out of the back of the U-Haul and where it was going to be set off at, and we made up the sign. It's in Greek. Wasn't it?
Is that Greek? I don't know. I know we made a sign.
We made up a sign planet where they invaded, uh-huh, and they landed in this area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So in the book there was a sign.
Yeah. So I had it all ready for them to see an exact time it's going to come off. Well, when they set the daggone thing off, it didn't come my way. Went the other way. And two fishermen in a boat saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that really became the...
Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah, yeah, that's a Greek.
Let me show that to the people on the radio there.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so they can see that. Yeah,
that's a...
We planned out there. There's a big pine grove.
Yeah.
You know, out there, and they stripped that pine grove.
Mm-hmm.
Checking.
Somebody took every pine tree out of there.
Yeah, they took the sign and had a big conversation about it.
Now, tell them what the spaceship was made out of.
Yes.
It was a
balloon.
It was a weather balloon
that
we had painted up. Yeah. I'd put some LEDs on around it. It's a pretty good looking spaceship.
Yeah, actually. Yeah,
well, we both took turns on painting on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So now the LEDs that you put in there, they were battery operated, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
little
9-volt.
And that was kind of pretty new for that particular time. LEDs were something. Yeah.
I've been in electronics for 50 years.
There you go. There you go.
We had it figured out.
Yeah, you had a transmitter, a picture of a transmitter.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah, we made that. Yeah, that's how them aliens talk, you know.
Yeah. And then the egg.
Now, that egg was one of the smartest things I ever did in my life. Yeah. I'm telling you what. You make something hollow. It looks like something had been inside that crawled out of it, doesn't destroy the whole shell.
Mm-hmm.
That was good on my part. It really was.
Now, I like the story about how you got the eggshells. Tell us about that.
Oh. Well, that stuff stunk like crazy. That was horsehide glue is what that was.
Okay.
And so I got me a coffee can, and it started stinking so bad I had to take it outside. But I went and got the hot plate out of the house, took it out in the garage, and
blew up the balloons.
Huh?
Blew it up balloons.
Well, I had a frozen
balloon.
Balloon. It had water in it, frozen. It's a good size egg. And I dipped that frozen balloon down into that horsehide glue.
Uh-huh.
And it froze just like a dip in an ice cream cone just in chocolate.
Formed it, yeah.
Yeah, formed it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was still that ice, hunk of ice inside that balloon was still inside that egg.
Uh-huh.
And I took it in the house and put it in the freezer then, and it settled on out. So soon, you know, later on, I went and got the egg out and let the ice melt and run out of it.
Right.
And pulled all the balloon and everything out of it. So it worked out as an egg pretty daggone good doing it that way.
It was a pretty good replica.
Yeah.
How big was it then, would you say? Roughly, what, 6 inches or anything?
No.
Like softball.
Softball size, a little bit bigger.
Than softball.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to tell from the picture, but I'm guessing maybe that's what it was.
But it's
I guess it was a little bigger than a softball.
Yeah, bigger than a softball. But it made a good-looking egg, though.
Yeah, it's weirdly shaped.
I don't know where that egg ended up. Do you have any idea where?
I don't remember.
Well, the interesting part about it is with the hole in the end of it, it looked like it hatched out.
It ended up on the island down there at Seneca Lake.
I think so.
One of them, because we had two eggs.
Yeah.
We had two of them.
Yeah.
Well, one you made two in case one didn't work out, you know. So
the one that wasn't as good, we put footprints out of the water up to the island and set the egg up there by the big beach tree that's hollow.
How did you decide what you were going to make the footprint look like?
We just figured it out. But he said, what kind of footprint you want to make? And I said, I don't know. Don't want to be a chicken or anything like that, but one of them's got a bent toe. So I took the rebar, heat out, weld all together, and then grind it to make it look like prints.
Uh-huh.
Like a chicken foot.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought had it looked like when I first saw it.
I had two of them so we can make prints, you know, but they were really large.
Yeah.
Now, in the middle of preparing this prank, there was a pig incident.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to talk about that?
That stalker and the pig.
Yeah,
bring the pig home in the car.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about in the pig pen. Went through the wall.
Oh, when we got into a... when he knocked me through that barn wall.
That was you. Okay, yes.
Yeah, knocked me out in the pig pen.
I hear that you had a new lover there.
Well, no,
Stalker took the pig home.
Well, we try not to talk about that too much.
Well, we got to save something for people to buy the book and read it, too.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
But the movie,
We're down to about 10 minutes, gentlemen, and we are just going.
I got a question for you. Sure. In here, toward the end of the book, you talk about the Buffalo Grill. Tell me where that was.
Right there in Buffalo, right off of 77, turn on 313.
Boy, I don't remember that place. I don't think I was ever there.
Buffalo's been there for years.
That place is older than all four of us here.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I don't think I remember.
Okay, you go past Seneca Lake on 313.
Yeah.
As soon as you get off 77,
mm-hmm.
you run it dead ends right on the ramp on 313.
Okay.
You go right and you go to DeWitt.
Okay.
Left, there's a little villager, which was Buffalo.
And that was Buffalo.
Right.
Guess I never went that direction.
Then you went up about 7 miles and you got to the four-way stop sign. That was Senecaville.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now I know where you're talking about.
Buffalo's between Senecaville and 77.
Okay. Now I know where you're talking about. You mentioned Senecaville. Okay. Now I know where you're talking about. So it burnt down.
They tore it down.
It's gone.
Yeah, it caught fire.
Yeah.
They went ahead. There's nothing there now.
No.
So is that like a local watering hole?
It was. Yeah.
Oh, it was a good little.
That's where I got all my information from. What was going on?
Okay.
Yeah, I read that throughout the book.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd sit in there and have a few drinks.
Yeah.
Listen.
Just kind of soak it all up.
Yeah.
What
then
everybody was talking about.
Yeah, and I'd stir it back. We'd stir it back up.
Yeah. That's a good way to do that. Yeah, that's
talk to them about the old fisherman. That this is probably the funniest part of the whole thing. The guys that were out on the lake.
Yeah.
When they seen the balloon taking off, it didn't go up the holler like.
Where'd you launch it from?
Launched it just about a quarter mile from the
So you were pretty close to the lake then.
Oh, yeah. They used to be this is where they come in there right after that and ripped all them pine trees, big, nice pine trees out of there. That's probably a quarter mile down from the park there.
Right.
Who took all the trees out? Was it the state?
Right after I'd stopped there along the road to, you know, give us time to, my brother, Mike and Doug was with me when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had stopped there to give them time to get the balloon out of the back of the truck. And we didn't want to stay there very long. And then instead of going up, it went way up in the air past where them pine trees was. And I thought it would go up the holler where Dick was having his party at up there. Yeah. He was going to film everything.
Yeah.
But instead it drifted out over the lake. And the old fishermen were out there, and evidently they had to see it because it had lights flashing, and I had a big bunch of lights on the bottom of it. This thing had a light ray engine in it.
How big was this, the balloon?
Oh, it was...
filled that U-Haul truck.
Yeah. It was 10, 12 feet across.
Really? That
yeah.
big?
Yeah. Oh, it was a big balloon, yeah.
So no matter how... it went up pretty far, you could still see it pretty
Yeah.
We can't
figure
out whatever happened to it.
Huh. That thing would go to 30,000 or 40,000 feet, really.
I bet it would.
He filled full of helium right out of the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just threw it out, and we took off down the road. And, boy, right after that, there was three or four policemen coming that way. I thought.
And that's in the book, too, yeah. Well, somebody stopped to ask if you needed help.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of quick and rough with him. I didn't want to be, but
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know this guy. I never saw him in
my life. Yeah. I thought, oh, my God, he's got caught.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
we had the big movie projector. We're waiting to film this.
But it went right across that lake, and, then we got the heck out of there as quick as we could.
So the fishermen went back and were telling stories about what they saw.
Blood grill. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the U.S. government came in to investigate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. They'd have to send in the...
We won't get into details on that. Yeah, it was quite interesting.
Well, I bet so, yeah.
I was involved with them. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I like the story about the two guys. Let me see. Now, which one of you decided to take over the bar that night and fill in for your friend that ran the bar?
Well, that was me.
Okay. That's a thought. And what happened that night?
Oh,
we have about 5 minutes.
I just happened to be working there part-time. And, these people, we called them black and whites by this time.
Yep.
They just happened to come in there, and I thought I'd give them a couple free drinks. That's all I did, just free drinks. They liked their Jack. They liked their free Jack and Coke. And I plowed them in full with it. So... and then later on that night, they got to where they couldn't walk or couldn't even keep awake. So it was time to treat them to a little special treat out the back end of that old U-Haul again that we'd fixed up. And,
I'm laughing that story. I can't picture this.
One of them got inseminated.
Yeah.
It was the wrong one that got inseminated.
But you took the back end of that U-Haul and took aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And then you had two examining tables in there.
Yeah.
And had lights to look like the aliens were going to examine them.
Well, they did.
I understand there was a broomstick involved.
Well, that's what they got inseminated with. So you're probably going to have a bunch of little brooms, maybe. Or maybe a mop.
This movie's going to have to be rated very carefully when the,
Yeah, so's his show.
Yeah. Hey, it's funny. I'm telling you, people believe stuff. And, I can't help what people believe.
No, it just takes a little pushing. It's pretty easy to convince some people.
It wasn't hard to... push them over the edge.
Yeah.
It wasn't
really.
Yeah. No,
that's
because they were seeing things that they thought was real.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. To not help them on, so they found the prints there. They're trying to figure out how to do it. I said, "Got a candle up there. We'll just melt it down and pour it in there." So we did. My ex-wife had a big old candle. We went down there.
Made yourself a mold.
Made ourselves a mold, and I won't mention his name. Good friend of mine there. Took it into the sink, and he's taking a toothbrush, getting all the sand and everything off of it.
That's in the book, yeah.
Oh, and he just, I said, I'll do it. And he said, "No, don't you touch this." He said, "I don't want to ruin it." he worked on that for, oh, and we sat there and drank our beverages.
Yes.
Watched him, and that's when it really became technical and got a lot of involvement.
Uh-huh. I couldn't have done that. I just busted up laughing.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I could have kept a straight face. Yeah.
So they were trying to figure out what to do, and I said, well, if it were me, this is what I would do.
Uh-huh.
So I just coach him along a little bit, and I go tell him this is what they're going to do. So then we figure out what to do next.
Just, we had to help him out.
But know? we were one step, like, setting off these signals, and he was in one area and I was in another, and it got too close to me.
Oh, yeah.
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 I was late getting them back up there where we was to meet.
Well, there's transmitters in there, yeah. I made, you know, that's how they talk to each other.
Right? Yeah,
yeah. Communicate right. to each other like yeah. that.
So. 9-volt batteries send off a radio frequency. We had RF gain. Yeah. So I figured out how to do it like a Morse code.
Now, so, you know, a lot of thoughts going into this.
Did the government confiscate the transmitters?
No.
Did they ever
no.
find them? Or?
No.
Okay.
Never, government's
nobody's
never.
Found the feet either, and I still have them.
Okay. So the hit. Evidence is still out there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How much time you got left?
We have about a minute and a half.
Oh. One find thing, out where people can get
well, that's exactly where I was going, Fred.
Okay.
We haven't talked about where this book can be found, if somebody would like to read it.
Well, the only place I know where it is right now is on Amazon.
On Amazon?
Yeah. You can type in the Foot Brothers, and it'll come right up for you.
The Foot Brothers are Life and Times, based yes. on a true story.
Yeah.
So, it was so... I got to read the very end of the book here. I just okay. like how it ended up. We got about just over a minute right now. Axel, one of the government gentlemen, I believe.
Yeah, he's a government sharpshooter. What do you call him?
Oh, what did they call him in there? I can't remember exactly what you...
Him. He's not a sharpshooter, but a problem solver, I guess.
A troubleshooter.
Yeah.
Axel called headquarters and informed his boss that one of them was pregnant and the other turned, well, a Q word. I don't know if we're allowed to use it. That's too bad about her being pregnant. She could, well, I'm sorry. I forgot about that part of it.
Yeah. I don't want to read that.
You don't understand. The guy thinks he's pregnant and the girl turned. So Axel explained. And at that point they said, shut down the operation. And get them out of there. So, you've been listening to the Mike Wilson Show, and our guests today have been Art Jude and Dick Hoy, authors of The Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.